Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
Stuart Briscoe.
We all know Stuart Briscoe. There we go. That's for the folks at home. In preaching today in an article called Christmas 365 Days a Year, he wrote this article and he talked about the cuckoo bird. The cuckoo bird is common, a common bird in England. And the first sign of spring is that bird's call. Now, the cuckoo bird never builds its own nest. When the cuckoo bird senses an egg coming on, they quickly fly and try and find a nest that is bare. Other eggs, no parent bird. And then the cuckoo bird quickly lands, lays the egg, and takes off again. And that is the extent of parenting that the cuckoo bird does, laying the egg. We have a lot of cuckoos in our society today. The thrush bird now, whose nest is invaded by this egg, comes back, circles around, and lands, and isn't quite sure why the nest is a little bit unsettled than it was when they left, but continue on to hatch the eggs. Soon, four little thrushes and one large cuckoo bird eventually hatch. The cuckoo bird is two or three times the size of the thrush bird. Mrs. Thrush, having hatched five little birds, goes off early in the morning to get the worm, comes back, circles the nest, and gets to work with feeding the little chicks. Four petite thrush mouths and one carnivorous cuckoo bird mouth. Who gets the worm? The cuckoo bird. Guess what happens? The cuckoo bird gets bigger and bigger, the little thrushes get smaller and smaller, and eventually starts kicking the other birds out of the nest. Now, I'm not kidding you. If you go on YouTube and you Google cuckoo bird, you will find a newly hatched bird blind with its hind legs pushing eggs out of the nest, so it is left by itself. If you want to find a cuckoo bird's nest, just walk around and you find little thrush birds around the outside on the ground. What's left is an adult thrush feeding a baby cuckoo that is three times the size as the thrush bird. Here's the moral of the story. We have two natures within us, within one nest. The one that we feed is going to grow. The one that we do not feed will diminish. What are we going to do about it? We cannot just relegate to an annual attempt at Christmas time to have the spirit of Christ in us or even celebrate Easter and expect us to grow as Christians. It is a perpetual recognition and participation of Christ in our lives that will cause us to grow. Today we're looking at our second enemy, the flesh, the enemy within. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time and this place. Thank you for these that have gathered together, Father, to worship and praise your name and to study your word and the truth that is there for us to grow more in Christ's likeness. Would you now aid our learning and bless us in Christ's name. Amen. We are talking about the three enemies of God. We have spent time talking about the world, that's the enemy around. There is the flesh, the enemy within, and then the devil, who's just the biggest enemy of all, unseen. But today is talk about the flesh. What is the flesh? Here's one suggestion for you. It's a nature bent on rebellion against God, and its purpose is to serve self. It is selfish rather than selfless, affecting our emotions, our mind, and our will. In Matthew chapter 6:24, you are too cute. Did you know that? Are you that little boy who lives next door? Anyway, I'm sorry. Grandparenting plus ADD. Long message. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve things spiritually and then equally focus upon the things of the world that you need. There are things that rise up within us that we feel that we need that are just empty. What we need is God first, and God says, seek this first, and all these things will be added unto you. It's referred as the Adamic nature, the sin principle, the flesh, the old nature. It is with us 24 hours a day, and listen carefully, believers have it as well as non-believers. I don't know why God did it that way. I think if you come to Christ, boom, you're just translated, let's go to heaven. But he doesn't do that, and he doesn't remove us, nor does he remove the old nature as well. It's neither redeemed nor removed. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Anyone here not sinned this last week? Okay, good. See, at least you're honest. I gave you kind of a fail-proof test there anyway. We all do. Whether it's in a word or a thought or an action, we will all fall short each week. But we have a resource, we have a redeemer that we can confess that sin and get rid of it. Even though when we come to Christ, our sins are forgiven, the flesh nature is not eradicated nor redeemed. It is there at us. I do this. You know, I thought for a long time I was schizophrenic. I just realized I was just strange. But you ever realize sometimes you're driving, sometimes thoughts pop in, and you go, like you're hearing voices, you know, like, man, that person just cut you off. If you put that pedal down a little bit more, you can get in front of them. You can show them your Toyota Corolla of 1967 can beat that car. Yeah. We get these things inside. They rush up. People get angry. People get offended in the church so quickly because there's an old nature inside of you that desires to stay. I'll stand up for you then. You can't stand for yourself. Get that gentleness, weakness out of the way. It's really kind of literally like that little white angel and the little red devil on your shoulder talking back and forth. We have that, people. I really thought I was going crazy until I realized it's just, okay, that's just natural spiritual warfare going on. Then I was much calmer. Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. We may wish to do good, but I tell you, at times there's people up and we don't do it. We trip up. We say that word that we wish we could take back. You know, that's why you have to be really careful what you put on the internet, because you know what? You can't take it back. You can delete it in Facebook, but it's out there. You know, don't do that. But I've done that. So don't do this. I've done it. Don't do it. Did it. Here's what I did. I Googled, you know, my name, and I find things out there and pictures that should have been burned a long time ago, you know, at the Reformation. But, you know, because they're out there, and I, wow, it's just amazing. This thing just is perpetual. We have something within us that's perpetual. It's always at us, always working as and working against us every single day. There is a voice inside that says, don't stay for the potluck. Don't stay for the pastor appreciating potluck because, you know, people are going to talk to you. You got better things to do. That's not the right voice to listen to. The other voice, there's great food, stay. That's the voice to listen to. Satan does not want us to fellowship. Satan wants to divide us and isolate us because then we're safe. It's not the way it works. Why? Because it has strong desires. The flesh has strong desires. And it can overwhelm us unless we recognize it. Romans 8:5. By the way, in your outline, you will notice I've already given you a lot of scripture references because you need to know this stuff. And so I didn't want you to be frankly trying to write things down. I gave a lot of scripture references for that for you for that very reason. Look up later on. Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Fleshly people have their focus on that appetite. We lived in Reno for 12 years. You see people, you see that mindset in the casinos where they can't wait to get there. And they'll sit there, and boy, don't put a nickel in the machine that's one lady's been sitting for 3 hours because the next nickel is going to pay the jackpot. You know, there's an intensity that happens when you listen to the flesh that you can't ignore. But when you listen to the Spirit, God guides you in things. He reveals things to you. Like the eyes are opened up and you see things for what they are. I harp on commercials, you know that. Because when you see what they're about, you know, they're all about self. A lot of them are. Do it now and we'll double the offer. Only $19.95 and $3,000 shipping. You notice I never tell you the shipping cost? That's a clever little thing that they do there. Actions of the flesh originate, though, in our thoughts. Any sin that's gone on that we've ever done, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, whatever it might be, originate in our thoughts. We don't just do it, you know, we think about it. We circle think about it. We ponder. We think of ways that could happen. We spend time, and then it happens. We go, wow, how'd that happen? Well, you pondered it for 3 years. Wake up. It originates up here. That's why the Bible says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every sin you've ever done has begun here first. And Paul's saying, take your thoughts captive. Captive. Think about it. If it's not of God, man, push it out. I've learned, it sounds so silly, but the person I shake my head. If I start getting a thought in that I don't know I shouldn't have, I do a physical action because you know what? It just shakes it away. Sometimes my wife warns me of brain damage, though, but I said, bah, it's too late. I'm already there. But we have to take our thoughts captive. Why? Because it originates in here. It is hostile towards God, and you cannot please God with it. There's nothing we can do in our flesh that's going to please God. That doesn't mean we can't do anything. I'm saying the flesh desires, which is for gratification of self, does not please God. Romans 8, 6, verses 6 through 8. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. Says it right there. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I told you a long time ago, when I was a young man with dark hair, the only game show I ever wanted to be on was Match Game. And at age 21, I was able to do that. I got on Match Game PM. And I won $8,250. Woo! It was like $1 million back then. But I went on. Now, I had been living on a back porch in a house in Orange, California, okay? And I didn't even have my own bathroom. I had to walk outside to use the bathroom inside the house. Moved to a little apartment, a little studio apartment, but I was driving a 1967 Chevy. Now, today, that'd be a classic car. Then, it was just kind of a dump. And I walked on the lot of this foreign car place, and I go, I want that one. I never test drove it. I didn't really ask anything, but I want that one. It's a brown Triumph Spitfire, tan interior, hard top with a soft top, nice cover on it. It was a chick magnet. Had a license plate. You know what they're called? Vanity plates? My plate says, I'm Czech. You know? One time on the Hollywood freeway, this gal tooted on their horn and waved at me. I was heading for the exit. I wanted to zip right back on. You know? 2 years later, I had to sell it for what I could because I was broke and I had to buy a U.S. mail Jeep that you drive on the right-hand side. You know? It was the flesh, just because I wanted that. Don't think about it. Didn't say, Lord, oh Lord, I want to really talk to you about this. I want that vehicle. You know, we want the flesh wants what the flesh wants. We can't please God with it. But I was happy for about 2 years. Okay, what does it want to produce? For the believer, it wants to produce strife in our lives. It wants us not to be happy in God. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We have a battle, people, going on inside of us every single moment. And they're set against each other. And which one's going to win is the one we're going to feed, the one we're going to spend time, the one that we're going to encourage. For the non-believer, ultimately, death. Because it wants to keep that person away from God. And we know a person away from God dies in their sins and are cast into utter darkness. If it can't have us, it's still going to wants to make our lives miserable. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the difference. That's the difference. Once you yield to one aspect of the flesh, though, You'll yield to other aspects. It doesn't mean we do not sin. When we come to Christ, we are not sinless, but we should sin less, right? And so we need to focus on that which God wants us to do and not focus on the sin aspect, which will grow in our lives. It's a snowball effect. Sin, without us being struck by lightning, can produce more sin and will continue to grow until someone has to pull us up by our bootstraps and say, you know, look what you're doing to yourself, to your family, to all that's around you. Callousness towards sin results in loss of sensitivity, leading to more sin. I've been there. It's not a pretty place. But we don't have to stay there. Talked last week about TV programs asking the question about the family hour. Remember that? The family hour. Whatever happened to that? It slowly, without our watching, slowly slipped away. And I did some research. I thought, well, what would TV look like 50 years ago? Before I was born. That needs a cup of water. Okay, so the flesh just rise up and I know it just. My son, our 13-year-old, says, Dad, what was it like in the 1700s? Well, it was tough, son. Only had black and white TV. 50 years earlier, let's say 2012, 50 years earlier, I did this from this way, was the era of the TV Western. 5 out of the top 20 TVs were Westerns. He had Wagon Train, Bonanza, Gunsmoke, Twice, 2 times a night, in Rawhide. And then there was the variety show time of that era in 1962. 5 of the 20 shows were variety shows. The Red Skelton Show, the Danny Thomas Show, the Gary Moore Show, Sing Along with Mitch, and the Ed Sullivan Show. Man, I remember watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. That was exciting, you know? 5 of the top 20 shows were sitcoms like Hazel, The Andy Griffith Show, My Three Sons, The Real McCoys, and Dennis the Menace. Man, that was TV. Shoot ahead 25 years. Oh, by the way, there was one crime drama that was Perry Mason. The year included what was probably the first TV reality show, Candid Camera, with Alan Funt. Remember that? That was real, people. That was real stuff. 25 years later, 1987, which was, by the way, the first year Fox became a network. Now there's many networks. You know, there was at the time just ABC, CBS, and NBC. Top 10 of 1987, Bill Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, Murder, She Wrote, Night Court on Thursdays, 2 nights a week, Golden Girls, 60 Minutes, Growing Pains, Moonlighting, Who's the Boss, the era of the sitcom. Good stuff, good TV. Let's move ahead 25 more years to current time. Top 10 shows. NBC Sunday Night Football. Big Bang Theory. The Voice. Modern Family. The Voice on Tuesdays. American Idol Wednesday. American Idol Thursday. The Following. Good, wholesome, all-American show. If you know what I'm talking about, it's all about, yeah. 2 and a Half Men and Grey's Anatomy. Big shift in TV. Of course, there's also number 11, which is NCIS, our favorite in our house. There's been a huge shift in 25 to 25 years to what we have right now. A huge shift in what satisfies the average viewer. And I will tell you this, it will never shift back. It will never shift back to My Three Sons, The Donna Reed Show, Father Knows Best. That era is gone. A lot of you may not even know what I'm even talking about, but a lot of you do. Paul writes in 3 different letters, 3 major lists relating to the flesh, and they're in your reference, in your outline. The preface at Galatians 5, 16, and 17 says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please." I just read that a few minutes ago. Here's 3 lists that he gives. The first one's in Galatians 5, 19 and 21. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities," which is dealing with our personal relations, "strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these," means it's not an exhaustive but representative list. of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to go on to the next list, and we're going to touch back on this. Romans 1, verses 29 through 31. And being filled means literally to the brim of this, with all unrighteousness. This is what the flesh is, being with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, like it needed inventing, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. You know that the inventors of evil, think about, we didn't have shootings in schools 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Certainly didn't have when there was prayer in schools. Things are changing, and there are new ways of evil that are cropping up that would just are unthinkable. Flying planes into tall towers in New York City, not once but twice, within the matter of minutes. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 4, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of self, of God. I don't know about you, but this scares me. It scares me, concerns me, because I see this in the world today. More and more and more. These lists, though, however, you have to understand, are written as warnings to believers. It's not written to the world. It's written to us. Now, do we identify with some of these things? Yes. Do you sometimes lose your anger? Yes. Do you sometimes do, oh, I've done that. Oh, that means I'm not going to heaven. No, it doesn't mean that. It's those who practice these things. They are a habitual part of their lives, that every day you see it in their lives. If you see one of these things as a habitual thing in your life, then yeah, take warning to it. Get help. Get a brother and sister in Christ. Talk with them and get that out. Don't let it, it's a slippery slope. You know, whatever you're around, you know, my gosh, the F-bomb as it's referred to, because how can you talk about anything else? It's so prevalent. It's in PG, you know, movies, no longer restricted to R. The ratings have changed in movies as far as what they say it is. You can't trust it anymore. We have to be aware that these are around us, and we have to not let it affect us. So what relationship do humans have to the flesh? To the non-believer, they are slaves of it. Listen to what is in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 35. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Third-class condition in the Greek, which means this, more probable condition. If you do this, if you abide in my word, then more than likely you are believers of mine. You are followers of mine. That's a very concerning condition in the Greek, because it's not absolute. There are people who have gone to church for years who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ. Going doesn't get you in. Receiving Christ as Lord and Savior is the only way to get into heaven. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? That Jesus is the Son of God. That he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on a cross, was buried, and the third day rose again, walked the earth for 40 days, notedly, and ascended to heaven. The truth, that truth, receiving that which God says about his Son, is what sets you free. They answered and said to him, we are Abraham's offering. You've never and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The slave of sin, doulos. We can be slaves to God. That's a bondservant, that we choose to be slaves of God. But you can be slaves to sin. That's the same word that's used, just as much that you readily desire to be slaves to sin. And be wary. Be careful. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. To the believer, we have freedom from it. We may have two natures. We may have this battle. We may have this opposition on the inside, but there's freedom. Eternal life brings at the time of salvation. It comes at the time of salvation. We are residents of heaven. We're just stuck here for a little while longer, but this is not our home. At the moment your belief in Christ leads you to confess that you are a sinner, to invite him into your heart, you have a new master, a benevolent master. Your present confession will be evident today and with future actions. That's important. Don't be the same Christian you were last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Continue to grow in Christ. I tell people that if they want to leave here, I have no problem with that because this is not my church. But go to a church that will cause you to grow. Don't go to a church that will feed you. Any church will feed you. People, that's not what you want. You want a church that will challenge you to grow in Christ because that's the answer. That's the emphasis. That's why it's in our vision statement. Easy mission statements up on the board. Place to love God, love people, serve in community. But we have a heart to feed people that they might grow to feed themselves and then grow to feed others. That's the progression of a healthy church. I want to leave you with this thought, this question. How then do we have victory over the flesh? People, we need to understand the enemies of God, the world, the flesh, the devil. We need to understand them as believers in Christ because they are against us as well as the Father. As well as God, they come against us every day. The flesh is not a new struggle. It was in the garden, Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, senses, right? And that the tree was desirable inside the flesh to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. It began there. It was also found in another garden centuries later, Matthew 26:41, when Jesus said, keep watching and praying. Do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul acknowledged in chapter 7, verse 18 of Romans, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. How do we have victory? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 12 through 17. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a chair Bible in front of you. You can grab one of those and turn to the page number that's in your outline. Acts, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Paul says this, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We have victory over the flesh when we understand our obligation is to live by the Spirit. That means enjoying a relationship with him throughout the day, talking, you know, we can pray and have a conversation while we're driving. That's cool to do. Or any moment. You know, I find myself, I do like to listen to sports radio. But man, sometimes you got to just change the channel because even that's obnoxious. You know, it's not about sports. It's about sensationalizing things. But I got three presets for Family Life Radio, K-Love, and Smile FM. And they get a lot more usage in my van. We got to live according to the Spirit, knowing what we're to do, and then do that. It's not listening to that voice, I just stay in bed, you know, they've got a nighttime service, or you just go next week. Don't do that. Fellowship with the body, you know, check what you hear in your head, those little voices, against what the truth of God's word is. Follow in on that. Follow in on what God tells you to do and make sure that's clear. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision, meaning no forethought for the flesh in regards to it lusts. When you start getting a thought that you know is not God, shake it out. Just, I got a crick in my neck. You know, you can just explain it real fast. Shake it out, people. Don't give it any credence. And then be as dead to the deeds of the flesh. Play dead to the flesh. Did the Bible say stand up and fight against the flesh? Doesn't say do that. You ignore it. You don't give it credence. You don't entertain those thoughts. You play dead. We have. I got to tell this, honey. I'm sorry. We have a little uninvited guests in our house. And they love the sunroom and the walls. Here, little chipmunks are looking for a happy home. And they found ours. And I keep ducking out to try and see where the hole is, where they're going in and out. And I noticed one day, I've above the sunroom, I have a little office area with a desk. And I noticed a little, and I looked out my window. There's a little chipmunk. Quickly zipped outside as fast as I can. Hour. And I got out there and saw the chipmunk going across and then jumps the roof of the garage and then it froze. Thought, wow, I killed it. No. It froze on the top of the roof of the garage, just not moving. And I know it's thinking, he can't see me. I'm invisible. You know, he was playing dead to me. Same thing. It eventually ran off, and we know where he lives. We have to play dead to the flesh because it does nothing good in us. We need to put on Christ instead. The tools and weapons God gives us in combating the world, the flesh, and the devil are of no use to the non-believer. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can't take these truths of God's word and put them in your life because they won't do anything without the power of Christ living within you. It just doesn't work that way. It's not a how-to, it's why we do it. And we need to do it because of Christ living inside us. If a person did that, it'd just be working out the flesh in the same way. It doesn't work. It takes the working of God in our lives to have some kind of victory that makes it last. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word and for the wealth of information is there for how we conduct ourselves in this world and how we face the challenges that we do each and every day. And Father, I just pray. I pray for those that have a heart for you, that have Christ living within them, that they take heed to these things that you've told us. That they don't live a life beaten up, but they live a life that's victorious because they know how to handle the flesh. Play dead to it. They know how to handle the world. Be in it, don't be of it. There's nothing more that we want than you. There's no other place that we'd rather be than with you. But while we're here, Father, make us wise with your wisdom so that we may live lives that would draw others to you, that they might see Christ in us. That is our heart and that is our desire. Help us, Father, to do that in this day and days going forward. In Christ's name, amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we shed his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, continue to equip us as we indeed go out into this world and make a difference for you. To shine your light. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.